Well, this morning, before we get into the Word, I want to tell you a little story. There were three brothers that went deer hunting together. One of them was an accountant, one of them was a lawyer, and one of them was a preacher. And quite coincidentally, I have two brothers. One is a lawyer and one is an accountant. But these three brothers, they went hunting and they all saw this buck at the same time, and they all fired at the same time. Well, the buck went down, and they went to where the buck was, and there was only a single shot that had hit the buck and killed it. And so they began to argue about who killed the deer. You know how brothers are. They all thought they were the one that fired the shot, and they carried on this argument for several minutes until finally a game warden came along, and he says, "Hey, what's going on here?" And they told him, they said, "Well, we're arguing over who shot the buck." And the game warden said, "Well, let me see if I can help." And he knelt down and he looked at the deer for just a moment. And then he stood up and he said, "The preacher shot the buck." They said, the other two, of course, they're indignant. They're like, "How could you possibly know that?" He said, "Because the bullet went in one ear and out the other." So that's why we pray before the Word. Because we don't want the Word to go in one ear and out the other. We want to receive it in our heart. We want to prayerfully open our heart to the Word of the Lord and ask Him to speak to us. Let's do it now. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. Lord, I know that it is life-changing. It is always exactly what we need. I pray, Lord, that our ears would be open and receptive, Lord, to Your Word today. Lord, that we would embrace it and live it out in our lives. That You be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to wrap up the series, Follow Me. It is about living the life that Jesus has called us to. It's about having a life-changing relationship with Him, and it's about learning and growing, becoming more and more like Jesus. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, what we call the Great Commission. We've talked about these two verses every week, but it's important again this morning. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus made disciples, and He tells us that we are to make disciples. The vision of Grace Church is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. But to make disciples, here's the qualification: you gotta be one. He called us to follow Him. That's a total commitment. Jesus made it clear that to be a disciple requires a total commitment. He says, if someone's not willing to forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. He called us to be with Him. He was with the 12 night and day. He lived His life with these guys. He's with them all the time. And here's the thing, we can be with Jesus all the time through the person of the Holy Spirit. He called us to learn. Jesus taught the disciples. He said, "Learn from me." He wasn't just teaching them a religion. He wasn't just teaching them, you know, head knowledge, but He was teaching them a way of life. Did you know that in the first couple of centuries that the church, Christianity, was not known as Christianity? It was known as the Way. That's what they called it. The Way, because it was a different way of life. I just want you to understand, it's still supposed to be a different way of life. Amen. When Jesus says, "Follow me," it is an invitation to discipleship. It is an invitation to come to the Academy of Life and learn from the One who is life itself. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. See, as a disciple, we want to become more and more and more like Jesus. And if we really are His disciples, then we want to do the things that He did. And Jesus made disciples. So we want to make disciples. He said, go and make disciples. John 15, 8, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Being fruitful is part of being a disciple. He said, go and bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. And ultimately, when he's talking about bearing fruit here, he's talking about reproducing what we are. Disciples make disciples. We need to know this. We all have a part in this. Every follower of Jesus, you have a part in this and a responsibility in this to make disciples. That qualification, well, you got to be a disciple. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't give what you don't have, and you can't reproduce something that you're not. So only a disciple can make disciples. But if you're a true follower of Jesus, you need to know this. You know things that a lot of people don't know. You have something. You've been given something that a lot of people don't have. And you need to understand that he wants to use you to make disciples. In the Gospel of Mark, the Great Commission is this way. It's Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We want every person on the planet to hear the good news. Listen, they can't believe if they can't hear. They need to hear the message of the gospel. But too often, that's where it stopped. The church doesn't complete the job, because the job isn't complete just when we preach the gospel. No, because Jesus tells us in Matthew to make disciples, and that's different. He says, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. I want you to know, we are about this, that we want to see people being true followers of Jesus. Amen. Not just that they you know, middle assent, that they believed on him, they believed that Jesus is real. Not just that they prayed a sinner's prayer, but that they're truly following Jesus, living for Jesus, seeing him move and work in their life. Disciples of Jesus. See, we need to share the gospel, but I'll tell you, there are so many that have believed on some level, and yet they're not serving God. They don't go to church. They're not following the teachings of Jesus. They're not being used of God, and yet they say they're a Christian. We got to make disciples, church. We need to understand this is what Jesus told us to do. Want to be like Jesus? Make disciples. He says, go and make disciples. So many people that need somebody to help them to know the Lord and to grow in the Lord. I want to tell you a story. In fact, I'm going to just read a little bit of this story. Chuck Swindoll is a great Christian writer, has written many wonderful books, and also was a very, very successful pastor. He founded Stonebriar Church in Frisco, but God has used this man powerfully to touch many, many lives, brought about many changed lives through him. And I want you to hear part of his testimony. He wrote this in one of his books. He says, for a number of years after I became a Christian, I messed around with spiritual things, just messed around. I ran around with church folks. I learned the God talk. I sang the hymns. I memorized the verses. I prayed pretty good prayers. I carried my Bible to church Sunday after Sunday. Wow, seems pretty spiritual to me. What do you think? Amen. I mean, the guy's praying and going to church every week, singing the hymns, even memorized some scripture. But here's what he says next. But my life was my life. I did not let all the religious stuff interfere with the things like my career, my home, my strong will, my pursuit of things, my determination to go my own way or my own personal plans. I wasn't a wife beater or a criminal or an alcoholic or some awful, notorious sinner. No, I was just a selfish man. I knew how to get what I wanted and nothing was going to stand in my way, including God. I was a Christian, but certainly not a disciple. He said, then shortly after I joined the Marines, which was another evidence of my determination to be tough and self-assured, he says, I was transferred overseas, and while overseas, I met a man who saw behind the tough mask and was determined to help me come to terms with the Christ I claimed as my Savior. He says, he discipled me. Month after month, we met together, talked together, played ball together, laughed together, wept and prayed together, studied the scriptures, and witnessed for Christ together. Like Jesus with his men, this man took the time to help me peel off my mask of religion and absorb the authentic message of Christ. I found myself slowly changing down deep inside. I got to the place where I hated the hypocrisy of my former religious lifestyle. I got into the scriptures on my own. They became my bread and meat. And I began to meet each day with my Lord, asking him to deal with my ugly selfishness. And did he ever? This man, Chuck Swindoll, who impacted so many lives, how did this happen? He was a Christian, went to church, read his Bible, but he wasn't really a follower of Jesus. It was more just a religion, the Christian religion, until somebody discipled him. Somebody helped him learn and grow, and he became this successful minister, and God used him so mightily. Who can you disciple? Here's a simpler question. Who can you influence to truly follow Jesus? Who can you help live the life that God has for them? Can you make a difference in somebody's life? You know, for Chuck Swindoll, it's very clear that this one man had discipled him and had this huge impact on his life. And I know that that happens. But sometimes it's not that we are the person who disciples somebody, but we are a part of the discipleship process. I know in my own life that when I made the decision to serve the Lord with my whole heart, there were a number of people that God used to help me grow as a Christian. In fact, to disciple me. And I think that's the way it is a lot of the time. It's not that one person discipled you or that you are the one that has to disciple this one person. It may be that way. But a lot of the time, it is it's kind of a group effort, but I just want you to understand that we are a part of that process. God wants us to make disciples, and each and every one of us, we have a responsibility to do it. I mean, if he tells you to do something, do you feel like you got a responsibility to do it? Yes. If you're a follower of Jesus, you do. And if we feel that responsibility, we would need to realize he doesn't ask us to do something we can't do. You have a part in this. You can influence other people. Those people that are around you in your life, you can make a difference in their life. All of us. There are people around us that don't really know how to live a Christian life. And they need somebody who is a follower of Jesus to show them how to do that. Every one of us. You know people that need somebody to lead them, to show them how. How do we make disciples? Well, I think the best way would be to follow Jesus' example. And so we're going to look at how Jesus made disciples. Some of them are things that we've talked about, but I just want you to understand it in this light, that we are to make disciples. So John 13, 34, and 35, first and foremost, if we're going to impact somebody else's life, we love people. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is the proof that we're a disciple of Jesus. There is nothing else that truly proves we're a disciple of Jesus like this. He says, by this, all will know that you're my disciples. This is the trademark of a disciple. This is what Jesus was known for. He said things like, love your enemies. Did you know Jesus is still, even in a secular culture, Jesus is still known for his love for people? And he says that we, his disciples, will be known. He says, all will know by this, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want you to know the truth is that that's not what most Christians in America are known for. They're known for what they're against. And that's what the Pharisees were known for. Disciples of Jesus, they're known because they love one another as Jesus loved us. Y'all got quiet. What are you wanting to be known for? William Barclay said, more people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. And more people have been driven from the church by the hardness and ugliness of so-called Christianity than by all the doubts in the world. The key ingredient to reaching people is to love people. If you leave the love out, it's like cake without sugar. Nobody wants it. And here's the thing. If we really love people, we want to disciple people. We want to help them follow Jesus and get close to God. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It doesn't matter how good you talk, how gifted of a communicator you are, how many verses you can quote. Doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues. If it's not because of love, if the motivation is not love, it's just a bunch of noise. And people will just tune you out. He goes on and he says, if I have the faith, or if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. These are amazing gifts. I mean, prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, faith that can move mountains. But here's the thing. You see, you can have great faith and you can testify and tell other people about how God has blessed you and how he's increased your finances. But if you're not doing it because of love, it just sounds like self-righteous bragging. That's right. You can talk about, you know, how all the knowledge that you, he says, all knowledge. You see, you can have all kinds of knowledge. You can study and know all about theology. You can have your doctrine all lined up perfectly. Well, let me tell you the truth. Without love, they don't care. Keep it to yourself. I'm just telling you, if we're going to reach anybody, if we're going to help anybody grow in the Lord, it has to be, the motivation has to be because we love them. That's how Jesus did it. He loved people. First things first, love people. I mentioned this story in the first message of this series, but I want to go back to it briefly. It is the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus wanting eternal life. And in Mark 10:21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. I want you to notice he looked at him and loved him. He really did. And you see, we got to really love people. And then he told him, one thing you lack, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. He told him the truth. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. Now, there's a lot of people today that want to tell people the truth without the love, and it never works. But Jesus loved this man and told him the truth, and he went away sad anyway because he had great wealth. And I want to tell you the second thing that Jesus did to make disciples is he told people that it takes a total commitment. And we can't water that down. We can't soft sell it. We can't say, oh, you know, all you got to do is pray this simple prayer. No, that's not all there is to it. People need to stop saying that. There's more to it than just praying a prayer. So many people, there's something in their life, like that rich man, that has a hold on them. And they will never really walk with God if they're not willing to lay that down. And it doesn't matter if it's money or a career or a relationship or a drug addict, a habit or whatever else, they need to get free from that to be a true follower of Jesus, amen, to be a disciple. We got to tell people the truth. You got to love them enough to tell them the truth. Because when you water it down, when you lower the bar, I want you to hear me, that kind of Christianity is not life-changing. Don't tell people that Jesus can be their Savior without being their Lord. And that's what's been preached so much in America today. It doesn't matter if he's Lord. He can be your Savior. It doesn't come from the Bible. It doesn't come from the teachings of Jesus or Paul. And I think in part it is just the desire for a crowd. It's just the desire to get somebody, you know, if we could just get them this. I want you to know we need to tell people the truth. We need to do it the way Jesus did. The one who said, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Yes, it takes that kind of commitment to be a true disciple of Jesus, to live this life, to live the Jesus way. Tell them to give their life to the Lord. Just be sure and tell them it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. There's never been anybody that truly gave their life to God that regretted it. But there's been a whole lot of people that at some point they realized that doing it their way didn't work. Tell people, give your life to God. You'll never regret it. Third, how did Jesus make disciples? He was with them. We talked about this, Mark 3:14. He appointed the 12 that he might be with them. He was with those 12 24/7. Now, I just want you to know, you don't have to be with people 24/7 to help disciple people. But you do need to understand that you've got to be with people enough to have real relationships with people. There are things in the process of discipleship that can't happen just from a pulpit. It's doing life together. You know, Chuck Swindoll talked about that, how they prayed together. They even played ball together. And see, we just need to understand that a lot of time in during the process of just going through your day, spending time with people. You see, it's through those personal relationships that we have influence. That we have influence so we can lead them and show them how to be a true follower of Jesus. You know, certainly a pastor has an opportunity to influence people when he preaches the word, but to really disciple someone, it requires a personal relationship. You know, Jesus had 12 that he really discipled. Now, there were literally thousands and thousands that followed him at times, and were called disciples. But when it got tough, we talked about this from John chapter 6. When it got tough, they all went away. They had heard the teaching, they'd seen the miracles, but when it got tough, they didn't follow him anymore. Who were the ones that continued to follow him? Those that he was close to. And I just want you to understand that this is so important. You see, if you're going to disciple people, it's going to require you spending some time with those people to gain credibility and influence in their life, that they'll listen to what you have to say. You know, a lot of times in the church world today, people act like fellowship is optional, unimportant. In fact, sometimes they act like it's just kind of entertainment. It is not. If you read the Bible, you see that New Testament church, they had fellowship together. They had real relationships with other believers. And so much of the discipleship process, that's where it takes place. It's in the day-to-day when you're with one another. Can you imagine the growth of a church that would take place if every person just discipled one person in a year? Wow. The church would double in a year. Why does the church at large in America depend so much on worldly methods to try to grow? What if we just did what Jesus wanted us to do? To make disciples. And doing that, you got to spend time with people. You see, sometimes it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time and energy and maybe even money, but it's worth it. We got to be willing to spend time with people if we're going to help them. Fourth, how did Jesus make disciples? He taught them. We got to teach people. Yes, I believe what is taught here on Sunday morning is important, but for somebody to truly be a disciple, they need teaching on an individual basis. You know what? There's nothing like one-on-one learning. Do we have any educators here this morning? Every teacher likes a smaller classroom size because you're better able to teach all of the students. Sometimes when you got a whole bunch of students, you know that some are just going to fall through the cracks and not learn anything. But here's where this comes down to for us as believers, being followers of Jesus. You hear the teaching from the pulpit, but a lot of the time, it's how do I live this out in my life? I'm dealing with this situation and I don't know what to do. They need somebody to talk to them, somebody they can ask questions, somebody that's been there, somebody that already has walked that path and they can show them how to do it. Somebody's struggling with raising their kids. They don't know how to discipline them. There's a whole lot of that. How do I raise my kids, you know, to be Christians and follow the Lord and serve the Lord, and how do I discipline them? And they need a brother or sister that can say, well, you know what, when I was dealing with my kids, this is how we did that, and you know, the Lord showed me this, and you help them. Somebody else doesn't know how to handle their finances. Their finances are a wreck, and they hear teaching about it, but they just don't really get it. They need somebody to sit down with them and say, look, this is what you need to do. Don't do that. That'll get you in trouble. You need to handle it this way. They need teaching on a personal basis. This is part of the discipleship process. Jesus did this with his disciples. There were all kinds of things that he taught them, that he talked to them about, that the crowds didn't hear. And they got to ask questions. Did you know there's people that would ask you questions? That's right. You know something that somebody else doesn't know. If you're a follower of Jesus, you certainly do. By the way, our growth groups provide a great opportunity for discipleship, in part because there's personal relationships that are developed, but also it gives the opportunity for people to ask questions, and we all can learn from one another. Even spiritually mature believers, we learn from one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. See, we all learn from each other. Just remember, you can't teach what you don't know. So we need to always be learning and growing ourselves. Fifth, how did Jesus make disciples? Well, he modeled it. And if we're going to make disciples, we got to live it. We got to model it for those that we want to disciple. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. The King James, it's follow me even as I also am of Christ. Be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. But here's the thing, none of us is perfect where we say, hey, just be like me. There's only been one that was perfect. But the point is that we got to live our life in such a way that we can show people what we're telling. But you reproduce what you are. You got to model it. And that's a heavy responsibility for a parent. You know, I told you that for me, there were a lot of people or several people that really influenced me in my growth in the Lord. But it's real plain and obvious that my wife, she was discipled by her parents. And she has served the Lord all her life. I know there's a number of you out here this morning. It was your parents that discipled you. By the way, there is this attitude in the world now that, oh, you just got to let them stumble in the dark and hopefully they'll turn out all right. That is a bunch of hogwash. Children need to be taught and they need to see you live it. You got to model it for them. That's the way that you show them that it's real. Jesus, he modeled it, and I'm telling you, you got to be willing to model it for those that you want to impact and influence. Don't just show your kids how to catch a fish, how to ride a bike, how to cook some brownies. Show them how to live for God. Show them what it means to be a true Christian. That old thing, dumping the kids off at the church, that don't work. But neither does it work where you bring them to church and then you get in the car and you talk like a sailor on the way home. Hello, all right, I'm moving on. If you're a sailor, forgive me, it's just a, never mind. How did Jesus make disciples? The last thing Jesus did to make disciples was that he sent them out. Think about this. God incarnate, the Word made flesh, the Holy One. He walked this earth in a human body and he healed people and he cast out devils. So many powerful things that happened through him. But you know what he did? He didn't do it all himself. He sent the disciples out to do it. And we need to understand this, that if we are going to make disciples, you see, we have accepted that command, that call, go and make disciples. And we need to understand this, that if we're discipling others, then we want to see them also reaching out to other people and discipling. We want to see them doing the work of the ministry also. Because let me tell you something about learning by doing. I mean, until you do it, you hadn't really learned it. Let me give you an example. You can take a young boy and you can let him watch baseball on TV. You can take him to the ball game and let him see it. And you can talk to him about it and you can teach him about it. But until he holds a ball in his hand, until he puts a mitt on, until he swings that bat himself, I want you to know he's not really going to learn how to play baseball. And you see, for some of us, you need to be busy about the Master's business. You need to decide, I have a part in this as a believer. I'm going to help make disciples. And there's all different kinds of ways that you may fit into that. But God wants to use you somehow. Just understand this, though. In that process, you want to reproduce who you are. You want to take somebody along with you. You want to help others get involved and become a follower of Jesus that is also making disciples. remember, discipleship is always a process. Disciples are made, not born. You may feel like at times that those that you're trying to influence, you're trying to help, you're trying to disciple, are just not getting it. It takes time. Jesus spent 3 years with those 12. And even at the end of that 3 years, there were times it seemed like they just weren't getting it. But here's the thing. 2,000 years later, it's still working. How? Disciples make disciples. That's how Jesus has always built his church. There's lots of other things that are being tried in the name of Jesus, but that's what really works. That is what brings healthy growth. That's what makes strong believers and a strong church, is disciples make disciples. And you have a part in that. Jesus says, follow me. And then he says, make disciples. We're going to stand and pray. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to come.